Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 120 of D&D Discussions, the podcast for players and DMs alike, where we cover a wide variety of topics to help you with your games. I'm your host, Ryan Reeder, and with me, as always, is my good buddy, Ben Baumhofer. How are you doing tonight, Ben?
I am doing pretty fantastic. Getting this out of the way right now, we know this episode's a little late. Life happens, stuff like that. That's all we're going to talk about it. So anyways, we're here to record and have some fun and talk about Dungeons & Dragons. And I got to say, I am so glad to talk to you. It has been
a while. It's been too long.
A book's come out since then. In fact,
just a little one.
I had a weird payment issue that got resolved, which we'll touch on. We've got loads of just random information, and we're really not going to cover a whole lot about it because we've done it for the past like 4 months, it seems.
Yeah, I'll we'll say it's, but most of it's really good stuff.
Yeah,
like I've been looking through the new book, new player's handbook. The art is phenomenal.
Oh my gosh.
There's so much just great art. I love the subclass art.
Yeah, they weren't kidding when they said good. There is a subclass like painting or some piece of art for every single subclass, and it really grabs your imagination, which with every single one, and you can see just so much variety in the different classes alone, which is just beautiful. I love, sorry, yeah. I know we're not going to talk a lot
there's
about
it, but there's a decent amount of like spell art too, which is super good. It's just made me very excited to see the art in the other two books, especially the monster manual.
Yes.
Because that's the kind of, I love seeing the art of the monsters, especially all the newly designed dragons.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very excited to see all the art for those. So
yeah, it's going to be pretty great.
Got to wait till next year for that one, though, sadly. Yeah.
So, I just want to talk about my little like payment snafu. So I did the pre-order on D&D Beyond for the physical and digital copies. And when I put in my initial order, they took all the money out. I'm like, okay, great. We're paid for. We're set. We're good. But then I didn't know that they refund the money, like the money you put down for the physical version until it actually releases. So in the meantime, since I paid for that, my card expired. So when they went to go charge it, it didn't work. And I got was an email that said, hey, we canceled your order. And there was no way for me to go in and change my payment or anything like that. So of course I put in a ticket because I'm like, no, I'm going to get these discounts on these books that I thought I had paid. And luckily an email came to me before my ticket was actually answered saying, hey, there's this thing that happened, put in these codes, you know, reorder your book, put in these codes and you'll get the discounts. I'm like, great. So, I was able to still, you know, save the amount of money that I had, got the physical copy. And then a day later I got the ticket that said, hey, we see that this happened, and basically referred me to the email that I already got and stuff. So they were pretty much on top of that. It only took a couple days, which I'm sure I'm not the only one something like that has happened with. So
probably not.
Yeah. So they made probably that not. Change. The big difference is that I still need to change my info for the next two books. But from what the email said, there's going to be something in place for that when the time comes. I think that they either didn't anticipate it or just were surprised at how many there were
silly.
On those lines. Yeah.
Cause yeah, like you need a way to be able to change your payment info if you need it. So yeah, that's a big thing. And I mean, I know we usually start with news. We're getting the bad news out of the way first.
Yeah.
That this, of course, sucky that it happened. Nice that they were able to fix it quickly. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, there are a lot of reports coming in that the run of special edition covers was incredibly small, which is a huge disappointment because it's just an absolutely beautiful cover. But a lot of people seeing that their local game stores weren't able to fulfill all the pre-orders because of how few copies of the special edition cover they were receiving. And as of right now, it sounds like from what the game stores have heard back, they are not going to do a second print run of it. So
which blows my mind.
very disappointing all around for the special edition cover, because I know a lot of people love collecting those ones. Or this, if you didn't but wanted to start, obviously this player's handbook is the perfect time to start collecting that special edition. So I really hope they reconsider and do another print run of them, because it doesn't sound like they were able to fulfill anywhere near demand at all.
Yeah, which, I mean, considering that there is, you know, just based on pre-order numbers alone, like, that should show definitely the interest in it. So meeting that demand, like, I don't see how it benefits them to not
leaving money on the table.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, sure, people will probably get the regular book, but it just adds even more that bad PR taste that Wizards has been having lately to everybody. So why don't they just make more? Like, it's got to come down to cost, right? Like, the different cover or something with, maybe it has like a shiny inlay that costs a little bit more. It's got to come down to that. Otherwise, I don't see personally why they would just not.
Especially because it's a friendly local game store exclusive. And you really want to support those, because those are the things that foster a lot of these communities. So treat them right.
Exactly.
Do another print run. The other piece of kind of annoying news is this is not Wizards. This is Hasbro. Mm-hmm. Just to make a distinction. So Hasbro owns Wizards. Wizards is a subsidiary. So there was an interview with recently with the Hasbro CEO during, like, I think an earnings call or something like that.
Yeah.
Where he said all the people he knows that play D&D and in their D&D games use AI, so they should very much be embracing it. And let's just get this out of the way. I hate the word AI. The word AI has become so completely diluted and so buzzy. And most of the stuff that people call AI is not AI in any way, shape, or form. It's something else called large language models, which is basically you get a bunch of data in one spot and just consume. And then the model is a way to get it out in some sort of coherent way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's a lot of products that are doing this right now because it's the new hotness. And everyone's putting AI, the old AI sticker on everything. The biggest problem with AI, we'll just call it AI, since that's the buzzword right now, is most AI is being perpetrated off of stolen materials, be it art or writing content or videos, like scraping YouTube, scraping a bunch of publications, scraping Reddit, all these things where content is out there on the internet. You obviously didn't agree to provide the art or the writing for these models, but they're gobbling it up.
Mm-hmm.
Long story short, our laws are woefully undercooked to handle what is going on right now. But to bring it back into D&D, there is so much wrong with, I think, the idea of trying to embrace AI for D&D. So much of D&D is a creative process. This is me and my players making the story and the world together. I do not want something telling me the story to run. I do not want something making all the generic things. Now, we're not talking about going to, like, fantasy generator, fantasynamegenerator.com or something like that.
That's right? Just plucking names that have been entered in. That's something entirely different.
Yeah. So this is like campaign development, character development. That's art. Yeah. That's like 90% of the job as a DM. And part of the reason you enjoy running games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so he's Chris Cox is talking about, you know, the theme around using AI to enable user generated content, using AI to streamline new player introduction, using AI for emergent storytelling. You know, I think you're going to see that not just from our hardcore brands like D&D, but multiple brands. And I don't know, I like.
AI
is soulless.
Yeah. The biggest thing that I have with this is that, I mean, you pretty much nailed it on the head, is that it takes away all creativity. I mean, we always talk about how DMs, oh, they'll steal ideas here and there, but there's a difference between blatant, hey, we're just taking this piece and putting it together. And, you know, we're just going to add this trope in and stuff, like having the computer run the process and give you just a cookie cutter experience of some sort. This is, you know, adding new techniques, different things, coming up with stories. And I mean, it's something entirely different because you're putting everything together. You're adding your own twists. You're doing everything. And it is so much more of, like, as a DM, your experience is, like you said, crafting. It's building something together. You might not be that great at it, but you know what? What you make is still unique and different than everything else that someone else has done. This is different than running a module. This is like me walking up to a robot and saying, hey, paint a mural of, a landscape. And then it's going to pull little bits and it's going to be just this generic piece of thing pulled from, you know, different things. It's nothing new. It's nothing, you know, creative or interpreted or, you know, expanded upon. It's just, like you said, soulless.
And we will link this article is from PC Gamer, and they did a really good job. And we'll link this in the show notes on dndiscussion.com. But I wanted to read this specific part where the writer Harvey Randall goes, if the tech didn't exhaust the snot out of me, I could see an alternate, less old man shouts at cloud version of myself taking a generative AI story for a jolly once or twice as a novelty experience. But like most uses of generative AI to make artwork and writing, what's the point? Aren't you robbing yourself more than anything? AI can't replicate the deep joy in seeing a twist you devised to shock your players land, or in seeing your table grow attached to your NPCs. No proprietary D&D story generation tool could replicate the giddy feeling you get when someone has lore questions or wants to work on an element of your world into their backstory. It can't give you the satisfaction of a well-balanced encounter or a homebrew mechanic you made paying off. It can't let you tell a story with your mates, which is half of why any of us bother.
Yeah.
So this is, yeah, again, at the end of the day, like, I don't want AI in my games. I don't want this being pushed upon me. I don't want this to be a central pillar of D&D, especially as they have an art policy, at least Wizards does, released not too long ago, that talks about, you know, art is a human thing. Like,
yep.
this is not something I want, and I know not something a lot of other creative people want. So this is just like these C-suite employees that are just answering to shareholders at the behest of capitalism, just hear AI and generating content, and then they just see dollar signs. Mm-hmm. And that's not what this is about. This is about a creative, shared experience with people.
Exactly. I mean, so, and let's say you do make your campaign based off of AI. As soon as, you know, one of those people asks a lore question or something along those lines, what are you going to do? It's not created because you didn't create it, or you don't know enough about it to really jump in and add more to it or more flavor or something. It's just, I don't know. It just, it doesn't seem like the fun experience to me as a DM or even as a player. I'd like to make something personal, something for myself.
Yep.
Yep. And then of course we can't forget the second bad thing about AI. It's the eventual downfall of human beings and, you know, the robot uprising.
Can't forget about that.
That's why I would say thank you.
If you're in a D&D setting, Eberron.
Yeah, there you go.
However, for some good news, Wizards just actually recently released a little bit about how the 2024 Player's Handbook was doing. And apparently it's a fairly big hit, as they announced the 2024 Player's Handbook has sold 3 times as many copies as the 2014 handbook in the same time period, which, for one, it's not super surprising because the game has grown massively since 2014. So there's obviously a lot more people to buy it. But it's also already outsold Tasha's Cauldron of Everything, which was previously the fastest selling D&D book. And so now the 2024 Player's Handbook is the fastest selling D&D book ever in the entire 50-year history.
Which is pretty fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, that's huge. They claimed there are now more than 85 million D&D fans worldwide, and that D&D Beyond has surpassed over 18 million users. So these are pretty big numbers.
No idea how they got those numbers, but big numbers nonetheless.
Yeah.
I mean, the D&D Beyond numbers definitely are easy to figure out, but the 85 million fans, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it just shows the absolute insane growth curve from when fifth edition was released, first off, to the advent of the actual play, things like Critical Role and Dimension 20 and Acquisitions Incorporated, and all these things, the Geek and Sundry stuff spreading out and popping up, the pandemic, which pushed a lot of people to online things, and D&D became a large resource point for keeping in touch with people, for the shared human experiences while we couldn't be in person with each other. So, I mean, it's a huge, huge thing. And this kind of, I think, shows one of the reasons why they wanted to keep 5e around, quote unquote, with the releasing of 5.5, as it will always be known to me. And they want to keep the momentum going. And it seems, at least on the surface, that is happening so far. So, unfortunately, D&D Beyond is still working on doing a lot of the support for the 2024 Player's Handbook. They've got most of the baseline content working now, but a lot of the third-party stuff is not working yet with the 2024 stuff, which means some of my characters I cannot convert over yet, as they are using third-party subclasses. So I anxiously await those fixes so I can get my weapon mastery.
Soon. Yeah, I have an idea on how and when my players will be transitioning to 2024, and it's actually going to be incorporated into the game. So I am kind of excited how this is going to work. It's going to be a little while.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Once it
happens,
I'm
excited to hear about it.
I will let you know.
Very cool. My current plan is to do it on the next level up for my campaign that I'm running.
Okay, that works.
So whenever that happens to be, we're going to actually take either a separate time or just take a session, and we're going to just sit down together so we can get everything converted and I can make sure everybody understands exactly what's changing and all the different things, because things like druids have quite a bit of quite a few changes. Mm-hmm. All the weapon mastery stuff is all new. So I'm excited to get that switched over, but I'm also not necessarily in a hurry to do that either. Yeah. Since we're mid campaign.
Yep. I'm kind of the same way. That's why I'm tying it to an event. But you know, kind of going through, I looked at a lot of the players' classes and the subclasses that have changed, and it looks like everybody's at least getting more, which makes sense to me on why we would actually want to be, you know, changing and moving towards this new improved version. Plus, when that happens, I get more things to do because weapon mastery and whatnot. So
yeah,
I'm excited to play it too.
Exactly. A word of caution, though. If you start a new 2024 campaign, or if you convert an existing campaign over, as a DM, speaking to DM specifically, be warned, there is a decent bit of player power increase. Yes. And it is one that the monsters and the like normal stat blocks are not built to equip. So are not built to handle. So you will have to do a decent bit of tweaking, even beyond what you needed to do before, to actually challenge your players if you're playing with 2024 characters. Yeah. And so that's either using a few higher CR monsters, more of them. Some third parties have monsters that are more deadly at the CR level than the normal wizards monsters are. I was talking to someone, and I saw a little bit about this online. I do think it was a mistake on the part of wizards to have the releases of the three new books staggered so far apart.
Yeah,
because we get the player's handbook in September, and we don't get the monster manual, the thing that you need to actually challenge the players at the power level that the 2024 players are, until February, which is ridiculous. And so I was kind of like theorizing. I'm not sure why they're split so much, or why they had to be, because they're wizards. They can decide when the books release, and if they're not ready, or there's some that aren't ready, they could have held the others and done staggered releases, either just a few weeks apart, or just release them all in the three pack all at the same time. And like, because I mean, I feel like there was probably some amount of push to, oh, the 50th anniversary of D&D, we gotta, you know, get it out or something. But your monster manual is even missing that. Like, your monster manual is not coming out on the 50th anniversary year. So like, what's the deal? Why didn't you just hold the rest of them, let them cook a little longer, and release them all at the same time or within a few weeks of each other at the very least? Because the only person setting the deadlines is you. So right now there could be a lot of very frustrated DMs who find out that their characters just mow down either all of their encounters, or if they're using a module like an older module, it's going to be woefully underpowered. Pretty much any current module you run with new 2024 characters will be woefully underpowered. So it is going to be a decent bit more work on the DM to have to tweak these things, especially with modules, to make sure your characters or your players are actually sufficiently challenged, which is not super newbie friendly at all. So that's why I really wish they would have thought that through a little more and released them as is. But I just wanted to kind of, before we close this segment out, I just wanted to give that as a warning, since we're talking about when we are going to convert our campaigns. That's part of the reason I'm not in a hurry, because I know as soon as I do, encounter building is going to be more work for me.
So I can tell you exactly why they're doing the schedule as they are. First of all, more people will be buying the player's handbook because more people are players than DMs. Easy. The one guy that they have printing all this stuff, Jerry, it takes him a while to crank these out. So as Jerry is creating each individual book, this is why they have, you know, less alternative covers and stuff too, because Jerry can only make one book at a time. So obviously.
Exactly. Yeah. Obviously.
Yep. Obviously, Jerry is doing this. He's making sure that the player's handbooks are out. Then he's going to go for the DM's guide because, you know, that's important too. So it's just, you know, he's working his fingers to the bone, guys. Just,
yeah. Just if only they had hired Jerry's brother.
I know, Terry. If Jerry and Terry were both doing it, it'd be great. But unfortunately, Terry is actually producing magic cards. So,
no wonder.
Yeah.
We may never know, but we can't change it now. So, disclaimer. There you go.
It'd be great if they just, you know, surprised us and bumped everything forward.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, total pie in the sky kind of thing.
Yeah, it would be nice. But I don't unfortunately see it happening. So, the best I can recommend is if you have access, Kobold Press monsters are definitely a little more deadly for their CR. Flea Mortals monsters are a little more deadly for their CR. So there are some alternatives that can help you without having to do a whole lot of extra stuff, but just be wary. It's definitely the power creep is definitely a thing.
Yeah.
All right. So with that out of the way, let's jump into our main topic tonight. And our main topic is going to be on soft and hard campaign resets. So if you don't know what those terms mean, in a nutshell, a soft campaign reset would be if you and your players were doing something and it wasn't working out, so then you just decided, we're just gonna quit this quest, quit this mission, whatever, and just switch to something else.
Yeah.
Something more interesting, something people want to get more involved in.
Or even turn back time.
Yeah, or even turn back time. A hard campaign reset, and this could also include turning back time a little bit, but a hard campaign reset is basically starting from square one, either with new characters in the same world or some sort of cataclysmic event that resets the world. Mm-hmm. Something that basically does a full reset on whatever you're doing. So we're going to talk a little bit about what those are, the situations, and when might be the time to deploy those if needed. So Ben, let's talk about soft resets first.
Yeah. So, you know, my party has been tasked to go save a kid from an orphanage. It's at night. They, you know, are successfully kind of getting inside the building and everything, but then someone lights a candle, but they roll really badly and accidentally it burns their finger and it drops, and then it catches the drapes on fire, and then that fire spreads, and then the orphanage burns down. And the kid ends up, you know, being twice orphaned because his foster parents, who were also there, unfortunately met their demise in the fire. And then they were our link to the quest to get the new artifact, because this is like the golden child. And unfortunately, they were also kidnapped by kobolds because, you know, why not? You know, that was really tough because I rolled a one on my candle handling, and it really kind of broke my whole DM plan on what was going to happen with everything. And I don't know how to move forward from this point. So maybe we should do a soft reset. What do you think?
Yeah, I would say this is probably a time to do that.
That didn't happen, but now I it's going to happen somewhere in the multiverse. That happened to someone's game, and for that I'm sorry. But yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, as a DM, we have a lot of pressure put on us to, you know, come up with a story, keep things going and stuff like that. And our players are always great and amazing and come up with ways to, you know, solve the problems or move the plot forward or, you know, just continue on the path. And sometimes those ideas that they come up with are just so out of left field that there's no way that you can predict it, which, I mean, how often can you really predict what they're going to do anyway? But it's so out of left field that it really breaks the whole kind of idea and flow of what you're doing. And sometimes you just need to either, you know, take a step back and be like, okay, session's over. I need to plan and think and figure out where we're going from here. And when you can't tie those two points together, that's the perfect time for a discussion to say, okay, let's kind of take a look and see what's going on. What can we do? What can we backtrack? You know, should we do a soft reset, turn back time? So we've covered that whole kind of idea, but let's say threw down a quest board. There's four different quests. The party picks two of them. They go, they do one. They're having a blast. Everything's great. It's fun. It's one of the best stories that they've ever done. And then they move forward to the next one. And then it turns out that they have to escort a rude nobleman who is constantly just, you know, berating them or, you know, just getting into trouble all the time. And it's a 3-week journey to get where they need to go. And it's this quest that no one is having fun with, even the DM. That's a good point to do a quick restart too. You know, you can either jump forward and finish the quests. Don't have to worry about it. You can just say, yeah, we never took that quest. We're actually moving this way. We're going with another one. You know, it's the idea of basically putting a stop to what you're doing, refocusing and jumping into something else that everybody's going to enjoy and have fun and, you know, continue forth with. It's one of those things where you just kind of like, oh yeah, that other thing, we're not even going to ever talk about it again. Seymour Skinner has always been Seymour Skinner. Who cares about that other guy? We're good. We're going forward. Let's never speak of it again.
Yeah. And this is where the constant communication mm-hmm. comes into play, right? As a DM, you should be scheduling check-ins with your players, even if it's not every session, every few sessions, every few months, whatever your cadence might be, to make sure that your players are still having a good time and still having fun. And that goes for you too. If you are not having fun for some reason, talk to your players about it. They might feel the same way. And so having that constant flow of communication can really either help to avoid having to reset something, or can lead to the decision to reset something. I've actually got like two real world examples of this. First one being, a friend of mine was DMing. It was the very first session. Everyone had made these really cool characters. They'd been planning this for a little while. They had a combat, and I believe it was a wild magic sorcerer or something. Essentially what happened was a fireball went off without it being planned, without it being known, just a random thing happened, killed everybody.
Oh, wow.
And so all this work that they put in session zero in building all these characters, everyone was just dead. So like you can, there's so many different ways you can handle that scenario, but from a soft reset perspective, instead of just making everybody make new characters and having to start all over again, what the DM did was he went at the end of the session and you all wake up from this shared dream that you had, like a foreboding premonition. And then they salvaged the game from there and they just went along. Right. And that's, they soft reset their game. And it was a fantastic way to deal with something like that, because those are usually never fun for anybody involved.
Yeah.
Especially if you've been waiting to play this character or put a lot of work into this character and something like that happens right off the get-go. The other thing, And this was something I played in. The group I was in a dungeon, and the dungeon went on and on and on and on. And it got to the point where we were just like, okay, we are just really sick of being in here. This place is huge. We're kind of wandering around, like meandering. This is not fun anymore. Mm-hmm. So the DM basically provided us a shortcut way out so that we could just go do something else that we wanted to do.
Yeah.
And that's another soft reset, basically, is, oh, well, that sucks. I'm sorry you guys aren't having fun. Or, yeah, we have been in here a really long time and there's still a lot left. Or, you know, whatever the case may be, there's now a secret exit that gets you out. That just happens to be in the room you're in. That's a great example of a soft reset. Get your characters out into a different environment. Give them a new plot hook and then move them along.
Yeah. In that particular case too, there's ways that you can actually go about that without actually visibly showing your hand. If the players don't actually have the, like, a full map of the dungeon or something along those lines, you just make the next room the treasure room or the boss room or something like that. You know, you can always adjust where you need in instances like that. And basically just, you hide the loading screen behind an elevator. That's essentially what you're doing right there. You're cutting all this extra content that doesn't need to be there, which I've done a couple times myself in my games when things have just been, you know, it's going a long time. It's kind of, you know, dragging on, or like, say like a big encounter or something where no one's really enjoying themselves anymore, or it's been going on for so long, but you know, your creature calculator or whatever is supposed to have this many hit points, but people keep missing, or, it's just, you know, not getting the damage taken as much as you think, you know, that's when you can adjust that hit point scale. Like, those are examples of just, you know, small ways that you can just kind of, again, do that little soft reset before it really becomes a problem. But, you know, those times where you need to acknowledge it, like that level, like that session zero TPK, that's one of those one in a million things where it's like, yeah, we're going to acknowledge that, you know, this thing happened, but you know what? It's okay. We're just going to kind of move past that. And we'll chuckle about this later on at some point, you know, it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a great dream
of dread was a great way to kind of just play it off as like, oh, okay. Yeah. We're not doing this. And I would do the exact same thing. If it's like a session zero, session one, or pretty much anything that is level one, like if there's a TPK, it didn't happen because, you know, we're invested in these characters. We want to play and have some fun. But what happens if we're doing this whole campaign and we're at that end boss battle and it is very meaningful that, you know, we don't just, you know, throw them the win here and we get a TPK and the bad guy wins. This is when we can go into our, you know, our big hard reset, which you can continue that story in the world where the boss won, have some new characters. These are new adventurers. You know, whether they're, and I mean, it's entirely up to you how you want to play it. If they're like the relatives of the people, or, you know, the children of them or something, or just entirely different characters who are, you know, called to the adventuring life to, you know, change the world, you know, figure out how to, you know, alter it and fix it and save it. You know, that's a good way to kind of give you that good hard reset. Or if you're in the middle of a campaign and, you know, you have a TPK and everything wipes out before anything was resolved, you have the same thing where, you know, another group of adventurers, you know, finds their way into this quest to, you know, kill shy guy Darklander, who is this evil wizard who is, you know, going to be spreading a necrotic plague across the land. You know, like when big things like this happen, they don't have to happen in just one tiny area of your world. It can be, you know, hearing rumors in other places, you can get them back on that same kind of mission and stuff. And this time, one, your players are going to know, oh, this is actually a big deal when they hit it. Their characters might not know, but they'll know. And that's even more of a draw for them to go and vindicate their past characters. So you have that kind of draw in there, you know, after a little bit of adventuring and reintroduction to a different part of the world or something, it gives that resolution that you just didn't get before.
Yeah, no, that's a great example. I mean, another one from a hard reset perspective is the campaign's just not working. Right. Mm-hmm. There, it may come a time when you as a DM go, this is not working. Like, this story is not working. This is not fun. This did not go in a good direction, and it has become just meandering. It might be time to start over.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's a conversation that ideally you should have with your players to see if they are feeling the same way. Because if they're not, maybe they can offer suggestions for what could make it more interesting or more fun. But if you are all in agreement, sometimes to get the fun and to keep the interest, it is sometimes better to just start over. Whether that's if it's a homebrew world in a different place in the world, or a different story entirely, or potentially it might just be we were playing a module. No one's really having fun with it, right? I think it's time we just try a different module.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Or let's say you're, you know, on a one of your friends, their character is like, you know, on a main quest for something. And then it turns out that they have to move away or they're unable to play anymore or something. Instead of just continuing that forward, you can just, you know, end that chapter and move forward into something different. You know, there's all kinds of real world things that can just affect the game. And sometimes, you know, you have to acknowledge that it's going to change our dynamic or the story or how this is working out. And then, you know, you just kind of move forward from there. Or let's say the DM is tired of DMing, but everybody loves their characters or they want to continue and someone else wants to take over that world. They certainly can too. You know, there's a bunch of different things that you can do, add spins to it and just make those changes that are essentially a reset, but you still get that chance to continue moving forward.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the great example of losing a player.
Mm-hmm.
through no fault of your own or through situations or circumstances. Sometimes losing a player in your party can change the dynamic so much that it becomes not fun without that character there, or that character was such a significant piece of the party that they will, the absence will affect the game too much.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is a great time to try and, you know, close the chapter as well as you can, and then sometimes move on. I've had to do that with a campaign before, because yeah, we just got to the point of like some of the players just can't play anymore. So we need to reset, try and give as good of an ending as possible, and then kind of hard reset with the people who do want to stay. Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's certainly something I've done in the past. But yeah, I think there's a lot, of expectations that can be had around games. I think a lot of this can fall on the DM as well. So again, always make sure you're staying in touch and contact, in dialogue with your players, and remember that the DM is also a player, and that your fun matters.
Yeah.
Just as much as everybody else's.
Yep. And you know what? Sometimes that soft or hard reset is the DM needs a 3-month break. And then, you know, time could have passed in the world. Maybe not. But everybody needs to be reacquainted of, you know, what's going on. I mean, gosh, last year when I had some health issues, we didn't play for probably about 6 months or so. And we got back into it. It was a, okay, here's a super long recap of what's happened so far in the world. Like the entire time that we've played, this is kind of, you know, the Cliff's Notes version of the story. So then this is where you are. This is what's going on. And let's move forward.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great example of like kind of soft resetting things. Reset your expectations, mm-hmm. reset all of the like the baseline information for players to kind of pick back up from. It's a really hard thing. The last example I'll give from a DM perspective, and this is just kind of something to watch out for. I was playing in a game where the DM really wanted to incorporate players' backstory stuff. But the biggest problem was that everyone had their own backstory stuff and wanted to do their own things.
Mm, yeah.
There was no good through line to A, either tie everybody together, or B, really direct people where they want to go. So the players kind of all just were doing their own things. And over time, this became something where it's just like, this is not fun. Like, I don't want to always go chasing after this guy's thing, or we're just kind of split up all the time or whatever. That's a great example and a great thing to think about as far as maybe it's time for a soft or hard reset of this campaign. And then, and in this case, it was a hard reset of just falling apart.
Which unfortunately that can happen.
That can happen. That can be a hard reset. Mm-hmm. Is this group just doesn't play anymore.
Yeah. And sometimes it's
always a hard thing, but sometimes it's the right decision too. And so never settle.
We've always said that no D&D is better than bad D&D.
Better than bad D&D. Mm-hmm. Yes. That's what I was fishing for. So don't settle. Don't settle for bad D&D.
Yeah.
You don't have to. There's too much other stuff going on to spend your time frustrated.
Yeah, exactly.
So just know it is okay to make those decisions and sometimes wait until the right thing comes along.
Yeah. Or create it yourself if you have to.
Yeah. Or create it yourself. What about you guys? Do you have any good stories of soft or hard campaign resets that you have done or you have experienced? Let us know. DNDiscussions@gmail.com or throw us a comment at Blue Sky or our Discord, which you can join from the website. Next, before we start wrapping things up, there are a few fun little community tidbits that we wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
The first of which, if you are a D&D Beyond person who likes to use the site, they have a really cool like 50th anniversary freebie little single session adventure that they just put up for free called Uni and the Hunt for the Lost Horn, which is based off of the old D&D cartoon. And you can grab the character or the module and the content for free right now on D&D Beyond. We'll have the link at the show notes and dndiscussions.com, but it's designed for 4 to 6 level 4 characters and meant to be played in a single session. So if you're looking for something pre-made that is ready to go and just a very short thing, this might be fun.
Yeah, could be pretty good. By the way, if you've never watched that cartoon on Amazon Prime Video, they have live channels and they have a D&D channel. And sometimes the cartoon is just on and playing. I caught like 20 minutes of an episode. And I'm like, I've never watched this, and this is silly and fun.
Yeah, it's silly and fun. Also interesting about this, and we were kind of talking about this, is the little single session adventure. It actually says in the appendix for the creatures that you use, this product uses stat blocks from the 2024 Player's Handbook and the 2025 Monster Manual. Ooh. Presented below. The stat blocks from the 2025 Monster Manual are marked with an asterisk and aren't final versions. But it is kind of interesting. You can get a little bit of kind of a sneak peek of kind of where they're trending towards in the Monster Manual. And potentially, I don't know, even get a look at it's stuff a little stronger. Is this a little more challenging? Because they are, I assume, expecting you to use 2024 characters to play this module. So I'm kind of interested in running it just to kind of see how the balance is. Seeing as this is kind of like their first, I guess, legitimate 2024 adventure.
Yeah. I'm just kind of scrolling through and it's got some fun stuff.
Yeah, it's got a bunch of pre-made characters. For all seven of them are the characters from the show. So yeah, kind of neat. Got artwork for all of them. It's all downloadable PDFs if you want to print out the character sheets and stuff. So yeah, if you're looking for like a way to dip your toes into the 2024 stuff, this might be a good place to start.
These are cool. Sorry, I'm just looking at the different character sheets, and I mean it goes through all the different, you know, features and spells and stuff. Like this is actually pretty legit.
Yeah, it looks fun. Might have to try it sometime.
Yeah. Cool.
Secondly, Ben found that RPGBot.net has a very, 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 very in-depth D&D 5e to D&D 2024 transition guide and change log. Everything that is different in the new 2024 Player's Handbook. And this is an absolutely massive article covering pretty much everything. Huge kudos to whoever put this together, because my goodness, it's a lot. So if you are really, really love the details and want to dive in hardcore to the changes, definitely check this out. It'll be in the show notes, because there is a lot of work that's been put into this.
Yeah, it is absolutely amazing how much is in here. I mean, it literally has everything that has been changed. It tells you like each class, each subclass is like, okay, this has changed, this is the same, this has changed. It talks about the different feats, the species, the spells. I mean, it's great. It talks about the new spells that were removed, all the different stat blocks. Like it is absolutely amazing. And I still haven't gone through the entire thing because it is beef. It covers the entire book, and the book is rather large.
It's huge. It's absolutely huge.
So yeah,
Check that out. Especially if you're wanting to dive in to the nitty gritty of all the details. And then finally, this was just announced yesterday, the 24th. There is, so those who have been listening for a while may remember me talking about Arcadia.
Yes.
Was a D&D monthly magazine, basically, that had a few articles in it put out by MCDM Productions, which I absolutely love. There's so much really fun stuff in it, between little adventures to subclasses to, you know, monsters, encounters, lore stuff. They did an amazing job with it. Sadly, it ended because MCDM is kind of switching to doing their new own TTRPG called Draw Steel, which is coming sometime next year. It's in playtesting right now, which is That system is a little more like combat focused. They're really aiming to try to bring like a very like cinematic combat experience for those who really like that that side of the game. But when Arcadia ended, it left a very big void. So Hannah Rose and Clara Daly, who have done a ton of stuff in the tabletop RPG industry, from working with Critical Role and Daring Team Press to MCDM to Wizards themselves, have started a brand new company called, I don't know, my frick, Wild Mage Press. There it is.
Gosh, I'm scrolling through. I'm trying to find it too. I'm glad you found it.
Okay. It's just like it's all hidden in there. Because like, the main portion of this Polygon article is about the actual magazine itself, called Horizons. So Wild Mage Press, they just started this company. They are going to start putting out a brand new quarterly, no, so not monthly, quarterly TTRPG magazine called Horizons. And this magazine is going to have all sorts of stuff in it from all sorts of different authors, very similar to Arcadia. The bulk of it will be D&D 5e adjacent, but then they have said there is also going to be one thing per issue that is for another system, like Candela Obscura, or, you know, maybe Draw Steel, or Daggerheart, Pathfinder, Cyberpunk. You know, there's so many of these other different awesome systems, maybe Stormlight when that system comes out. So there is a Patreon. It is $5 a month. And you get the issues quarterly. And then in between, they said they're going to be releasing like behind the scenes art, like magic items, little bits of lore, basically little filler stuff in between the actual main issues of the magazine. So I'm extremely excited. These are amazing creators. I know they're going to be working with some very, very cool creators in the community and artists as well. They've also talked about being able to do this sustainably. So actually, you know, paying their people who are writing these things and making the art for them well, which is really, really cool. So highly recommend you check it out. And if it's something that looks cool, make sure you support it on their Patreon. We'll have the link on dndiscussions.com.
Very cool.
All right. And with that, Ben, that brings us to the end of our show. I know it's been a hot minute since we've gotten to put an episode out. So have you done anything more in your game since the last time we talked?
Unfortunately, life keeps rearing its ugly head. But we are going to be playing on a not normal day, coming up the first weekend of October. We are actually going to be playing on a Sunday afternoon as opposed to Saturday night. So going to be a little weird, going to have to get used to light coming in the windows while we play, but, it's going to be soon. And, I am really looking forward to, picking up where we left off. 'Cause if you recall, they were being followed by someone in a hooded cloak.
Yes. Yes. I'm excited to hear once you pick back up as they are in the Elven Lands.
Not yet. They're halfway there.
Soon. Still on the ship.
Yeah. Well, they're at their one stop, and then they got another week on the ocean. So
another week on the you've probably been able to get a lot of use out of your seafaring supplements that you grabbed.
I have come up with a lot of random sea encounters, and I gotta say, I am really excited for one of them. I'll give you a hint. There's a bunch of tentacles. That means that they might catch a bunch of octopi. I mean, who knows?
Probably. It's probably just octopuses.
And one of my players who is just over there is flipping me off. Anyways. How about you, though? What have you been up to in your game?
We have met since the last time we recorded. We basically had a kind of a little shopping day, because it was the morning of this large charity ball that they're going to for this organization that one of the players kind of works at and runs for the refugees of this war that is going on in the southeastern wastelands. They're all very suspicious of the person who is putting this on. There's a lot of like big movers and shakers that are going to be at this thing. Very large, powerful people in the setting in the city. And so they did a lot of preparatory work to get ready and went and attended. They kind of got in. They did some of the intro stuff. They started meeting some of the people. And then the main lord, Erasmus Desio, made a speech, a flowery speech about how, you know, it was so great to support everyone. And that, and not only that, he would be providing them jobs. Ooh. And be providing them, you know, housing and all this sort of stuff that they are very suspicious about for some reason. So we actually ended our session right after the big speech happened. So we're going to pick back up here in a few days, right in the middle of that party, and see, you know, what they decide to do. If they decide to, you know, go snooping around the house or talking to a bunch of other people or trying to ferret out more information, it'll be very interesting as things are developing. So I'm excited to get back into it.
Very cool. I'm excited to hear what happens.
Okay, Ben. Well, I think we did it.
I think we did.
We got through. We have finished episode 120. It's crazy that there are 119 other episodes.
I know.
That we have done. I'm really excited to kind of get into more of the content. We should be back on our regular schedule as well. Moving forward. So we'll have another episode the week after next, released on Monday as normal. And we should be able to bring you new details of the Dungeon Master's Guide, as I believe there's going to be a live stream here in the next few days. Yep. That's going to be talking about the new Dungeon Master's Guide stuff. They're going to start the content wheel turning there. Going to find out more about the Bastion system as the release date for that book inches closer.
Yep. We'll be able to talk about the Dungeon Master's Guide in the next episode. The Bastion's probably after that, if we are to be back on our normal schedule.
always content for the content machine.
Yeah.
I'm excited to find out more about the Dungeon Master's Guide from all I've been hearing from people who have either, you know, seen it or through the articles that have talked about it. It is going to be far more, if not even more useful, because there is a lot of useful stuff in the current Dungeon Master's Guide, more organized, which is going to be a huge deal. And I'm super excited to read through the large lore chapters that they have. And if the art in the Player's Handbook is anything to go by, there's going to be some really great stuff in the Dungeon Master's Guide. So I'm very excited for that.
Yeah.
But cool. We will save that for next time. So until then, Ben, why don't you tell everyone where we can be reached?
All right. Well, if you're looking for us online, you can find us, as Ryan said, on Blue Sky Social. The show is at DN Discussions. Ryan is at TBK Zord, and I am at Ben Bumhofer. Now, if you have no idea about Blue Sky or what's going on with that, hey, guess what? There are links to those on our website, dndiscussions.com. You have links to that, as well as to our Discord, where you can join in on the conversation, talk about stuff. We've got some fun stuff going on. People asking questions, people, you know, giving ideas. It's a growing, fun place. And you know what? It can only be more fun if you join us. So head over to dndiscussions.com for that. If you have any questions, comments, or want to tell us about your hard and soft campaign resets, go ahead and email us. You can send those to dndiscussions@gmail.com. Or, as I said, you can reach out to us on Blue Sky and find us there. Now, last but not least, if you want to hear an actual play that I am in, check out Plus 5 to Hit. We are, as I've said, we're in like the final chapter of Rime of the Frostmaiden, and stuff just keeps getting better and better. And boy, oh boy, is crazy stuff going to happen soon. I am stoked for all this stuff. This is great. But anyways, check that out. It's +5 to hit. It's a ton of fun. I enjoy playing with it. I hope you enjoy listening. And then that being said, Ryan, I am so glad that we've been able to get together tonight and talk, have some fun, and, you know, look at different resets. And I'm very glad that we haven't had to reset this episode, too. You know?
Solid.
Crossing my fingers that won't ever happen, but we've never had to re-record something. Let's hope it never happens. But until next time, everybody, thank you very much for joining us. It has been an absolute treat. Thank you for all of your support. You are all wonderful. And until next time, roll high and be good to each other.
Take care, and we'll see you soon.